This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Well, hello there. I hope you're enjoying your holiday season. I am doing the best I can with getting these episodes to you. And next year, around the end of the first quarter of the year, I will have a lot more time to podcast, which has been 5 years in the making. So as I mentioned in my last episode, I'm covering what wasn't really covered in the Netflix documentary, The Reckoning. And so let me start out with Daphne Joy. So when people sit here and they talk about, when they say that 50 Cent is biased in the docuseries, he was unbiased by keeping Daphne Joy out of the documentary. Daphne Joy is the mother of 50 Cent's son, Sire. And he did not talk about her, even though Daphne Joy is Jane Doe in the Diddy trial that took place recently. So Jane Doe reportedly said in court that Diddy continues to cover her $10,000 a month rent under a so-called love contract. That detail shows it's not just past intimacy under scrutiny, but ongoing financial dependency that fuels questions about power dynamics and consent. I am reading, by the way. Jane emphasized that she believed the relationship began with genuine affection before evolving into a coercive environment. As the trial unfolds, every photograph, text snippet, and public whisper about that girl becomes a piece of a larger portrait. This is from what I just read is from an article from hotnewhiphop.com. The article was published on June 23rd, 2025. It's titled Daphne Joy's Complicated History with 50 Cent and Diddy Co-Parenting to Courtroom Rumors. So Daphne Joy and 50 Cent dated from 2012, I think. Or 2011, 2013. She had his son, Sire, in 2012. At age 26, she is now 38. Anyways, something like that. Maybe she was 25, but I did the math yesterday. But anyways, so she actually, they broke up shortly after she gave birth to a son. And it's always a very, very bad sign when a woman dumps her man shortly after giving birth. That means that the man was so trash that she preferred to just do it alone, go it alone, and not even have him there supporting her when she needs him the most to help with the child, the infant. And he allegedly kicked her, and that was like a domestic violence accusation. She also said that he raped her. So Daphne said this because after Lil Roy filed his lawsuit, Lil Roy from the Reckoning documentary, he said that Daphne Joy was a sex worker for Diddy and Diddy would have Daphne Joy have sex with other people. And so 50 went on his Instagram and was calling her a sex worker, a little sex worker. He had a few posts mocking her. Then she said that 50 Cent raped her and abused her. And then they both took down their posts. So anyways, 50 Cent did not expose his baby mama as a sex worker or someone who dated Diddy at all. So to me, that was very unbiased. And I think it might have been to protect his son. But, you know, people call into question how much 50 Cent cares about the victims. And I could care less what 50's reasons are for putting this documentary out. I'm just glad he put it out because they effing killed it. This documentary, how it was put together, how it was presented. And What was I going to say about the whole victims thing? I am blanking naturally. That's a thing. I've been just talking off the cuff recently and not really taking much notes. But, you know, the fact that, oh, that's what I was going to say. Diddy probably dated Daphne Joy because 50 Cent dated Daphne Joy, because that's what Diddy does. You see that in the documentary. He has to steal people's girl or steal people's exes because he's an idiot. But yeah, I mean, this documentary, I think it easily could have been a 10-part series, if not 8-part series. I wish that they had, like I said, stuff about Cassie, stuff about Young Miami, stuff about Kim Porter, hello, stuff about Daphne Joy. After watching this docuseries, I don't believe that Kim Porter died of pneumonia. I just don't. Like, that's, it's very hard for you to convince me that Kim Porter died of pneumonia at 47 after watching this docuseries. So I'm going to shift away from mentioning or discussing Daphne Joy and talk about other things that I came across online that were omitted from the docuseries. One of those, and trigger warning, one of those is that Diddy's bodyguard has talked about how Diddy sent Usher to the hospital as a small boy, quote, bleeding from the butt, end quote. Usher has also gone on record saying that he would never allow his children to go to Diddy's house, like if they had the opportunity to. So what does that mean? Usher was sent to the hospital bleeding from the butt. What does that mean, y'all? As a child, what does that mean? Because in the docuseries, you see Usher on the hood of a car and Diddy's in the car driving it or whatever in a video, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just like, anybody that you see around Diddy, like you need to be fearful. You need to be fearful for their well-being. So Usher, if things happened with Usher, I would have loved for that to be in the docuseries. Or what did Usher witness? Again, I would have loved to have that be in the docuseries. Like, hopefully there will be another Diddy documentary that talks about everything that was omitted from this one, because I'm intrigued. This is one of the most fascinating stories of all time when it comes to celebrities committing crimes for decades and being just absolutely the worst potential version of what a person could be. So moving right along, a former dancer named Audria English alleged that she was forced to wear a black dress to let everybody know at various white parties that she is a sex trafficked sex worker and that she had to have sex with guests, including the jeweler Jacob Arabov. I have no idea who Jacob Arabov is. His last name is spelled A-R-A-B-O-V. But that is genius. At a white party, everybody's in white and you the bitch walking around in a black dress. That's to let everybody know that you a hoe and you there to suck dick and have sex. Like, and she had to do that? Like, what? And as you know, like, in the docuseries, like, Diddy don't pay nobody. So, like, you really think all these whores were getting paid for whoring? For Diddy? Oh my gosh, this man is so terrible. Okay, next, at least one lawsuit alleged that a 16-year-old male was assaulted at a 1998 white party in the Hamptons, where Combs allegedly told the victim it was a rite of passage to becoming a star. You know, I can't even imagine how many famous people tell people that they have to have sex with them or they rape them, telling them that they're gonna, you know, become the next big celebrity. Can you imagine how many people do that? Like, I just, if somebody told me that, I would do that today. If somebody told me all I had to do was have sex with somebody for me to be put on, I would do it. I'm not alone though. I think most people would do it. And then the sad thing is, but you don't come up. You don't get nothing off of it except for stupidity and shame. In 1999, the second annual white party was initially denied a permit. Do you see how long these white parties were going on? 1999, y'all, was the second one. So I guess 1998 was the first. Oh my gosh. The second annual white party was, the permit was initially denied from the East Hampton Board. Diddy threatened to sue, so the board offered permission with certain constraints regarding guests, traffic, and time. Among those in attendance were Donald Trump. I'm going to leave that right there because I don't have it in me right now. At another party, Combs arrived carrying an original. This, to me, is one of the most shocking facts that I came across online. Like, oh my God. That makes me so sick. Okay. At another party, Combs arrived carrying an original copy of the Declaration of Independence as his, quote, date. Norman Lear, who had purchased it in 2000, lent Combs the Declaration but hired three armed guards to chaperone it throughout the night. This marked a new level of fortune and braggadocio, sorry, I don't know how to spell that, for Combs. So Diddy took an original copy of the Declaration of Independence to a white party and was carrying it, walking around with three armed guards as chaperones, like to mark a new level of fortune and braggadocio. However you say that. Yeah, I think braggadocio because I know it's braggadocious. Anyways, this is how much of a fucking stunt king, stunt master, attention whore, fame whore, narcissist, useless, untalented piece of shit this man is. That he has to get.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
An original copy of the Declaration of Independence and take it to a party to flaunt it. Do you understand how useless that is? Other than to stunt, other than to flex. What was the point of that? It accomplished nothing. It did nothing. He could have damaged the fucking document. Somebody at the party could have damaged the document. But he wanted to flex and show his power. Like, he gives such little dick energy. And I know there was a story saying Diddy had a small dick and I don't believe it. People love to make up lies about that sometimes about some people. I don't buy into it. They said it was like smaller than a Tootsie Roll or something crazy. I don't buy it. I don't buy it for half a second. But I would really love for Carisha, Young Miami, and other people to actually let us know what he's packing. I think he's probably average. I just don't buy that somebody who basically doesn't have a dick was doing all of the things that he was doing. I don't buy it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I don't buy it. And I think I kind of feel like if that were the case, why is he always showing people videos of him fucking someone if he ain't got no dick? Like, wouldn't he be embarrassed? Right? Like, when he secretly records himself raping or having sex with a woman and he shows it at parties or distributes the footage to other people who watch the footage and then go back and tell that bitch. Like, if he had a baby carrot, I just don't think he would be showing the world his sex tapes. Again, like, the math isn't mathing to me on Diddy having a small dick, especially like a micro-ass penis. Like, it's not, I don't believe it. I don't buy into it.
And I think
it's just a convenient thing to say, that someone that you hate has a tiny ass dick. Like, in his case, I'm not buying it. Moving right along, especially with all the bitches he was able to pull and keep, the bitches he straight took from other men and was able to keep. Like, I don't think a baby carrot is doing all that. So next in my notes, I have Lisa Gardner filed a lawsuit alleging that in 1990, she was raped by Combs and R&B singer Aaron Hall. The lawsuit says that days later, Combs assaulted and choked Gardner until she lost consciousness. In an amended complaint filed on October 8th, Gardner adds that she was 16 years old when she was invited to New Jersey from her home in North Carolina by her friends Devante Swing and Dalvin DeGrotte of the R&B group Jodeci. The lawsuit states that Jodeci's housing, where Gardner was staying, was subsidized by their label, Uptown Records, a subsidiary of MCA and UMC. It goes on to allege that Gardner and her 15-year-old friend, Monica Case, met Combs and Hall at an MCA Records event in New York, where they were reportedly supplied with alcohol. Combs and Hall allegedly provided the minors with more drinks and with marijuana later that night. Yeah, sounds on brand. Like, sounds on brand with what Diddy did and what he was about. And I was really ignorant. I didn't watch the other documentaries that came out about Diddy. Like, I was really ignorant about how many bitches he was raping. Men and women. Like, okay. All right, let me continue. McKinney was 22 years old and working as a model when an unnamed designer introduced her to Combs at a Sean John fashion show in New York City. Combs allegedly expressed interest in getting to know McKinney better and helping her modeling career grow. Yes, as I said, can you imagine how many famous people use this as bait? Tell people that they could get them into the industry, that they could get them to blow up. It's very cruel. It's so, so fucking evil because it's genius. Pretty much everybody is going to believe them and go with it. Later that night, he invited her to a recording studio where McKinney says Combs and several other men were smoking marijuana and drinking. She took a hit of a joint, which according to the lawsuit, she believes was laced with another substance. The lawsuit states that Combs pressured McKinney to continue drinking and smoking. And as she became more intoxicated, she was led to a bathroom by Combs, who forced her to perform oral sex on him. Afterward, McKinney lost consciousness and awoke in a taxi en route to the designer's apartment. The lawsuit states that following the assault, McKinney became severely depressed. According to the lawsuit, she believed Combs blackballed her in the industry, which led to the downfall of her modeling career and has had long-lasting effects on her mental health. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. You lure people in, promising them fame and fortune, and you assault them. And in Diddy's case, you always get off. Next, we have April Lambros filed a lawsuit naming Combs, Bad Boy Entertainment, and Arista Records, a subsidiary of Sony Music subsidiary. Lambros met Combs in 1994 while studying at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. She says Combs often invited her to the Bad Boy studio, promised to mentor and help her advance her career, and began love bombing her. They started dating, and Lambros would often travel to see Combs. Though he asked that their relationship be kept private. In the suit, Lambros accuses Combs of sexually assaulting her on four separate occasions and repeatedly threatening to harm her both physically and professionally. In one such instance, Combs allegedly forced Lambros and his then girlfriend Kim Porter to take ecstasy, forced them to engage in sex while he watched, and then raped Lambros. Do you see what I mean? Do you see what I mean when I talk about Kim Porter? So we have this woman, April Lambros, who says that he forced Lambros and Kim Porter to take ecstasy and have sex while he watched. And then he raped Lambros. Kim Porter, I believe she knows all the secrets. I think she knows where the bodies are, has all the secrets. I think she knows more than Cassie. And I think whatever was exposed in Cassie's statements is also just 5% of the fucking story. Cassie also has a lot of secrets, and she probably needs to keep her mouth shut for her safety. Though she tried to distance herself from Combs as the relationship turned abusive, Lambros says Combs continually contacted her and she feared the repercussions of rebuffing his advances. The lawsuit states that after Lampros' relationship with Combs had ended, she was told by someone she knew that he had seen a video of her and Combs having sex, recorded without her knowledge. What did I say to y'all? I don't think he has a little dick because he shows everybody videos of himself fucking someone else. Next, we have a man incarcerated in Michigan filed a lawsuit against Combs, alleging that the rapper drugged and sexually assaulted him in Detroit in 1997. During a hearing in September, a default judgment was granted to Cardello Smith for $100 million after Combs and his lawyers failed to appear in court. Shortly after, the judgment was set aside on grounds that Cardello Smith's lawsuit, mailed to a Combs residence in Los Angeles, was not properly served. Do you see how this man gets out of everything? So now that I'm rereading this, Combs and his lawyers failed to appear to court, probably intentionally, knowing that whatever judgment was going to be given, that they were going to argue that they were not properly served the papers. Because one thing Diddy has done is fight allegations, pay people off. So now it makes sense. Because when I first saw this, I thought, why didn't they appear in court? It's like, because it was a setup, because they knew they were going to say they were not properly served. Oh, boy. Okay, next. Combs became the face of Ciroc Vodka in 2007 and worked with the company until January 2024 when they settled a lawsuit Combs filed alleging racism within the brand. So I think January 2024, I feel like Cassie had already come out with her lawsuit and her allegations about Diddy prior to January 2024. I would love to know what she was paid. Whatever Cassie was paid, Kim Porter also should have been paid. R.I.P. So I'm guessing that's kind of why. Maybe, I don't know, it says he worked with Ciroc until 2024 and he sued them or whatever, but you obviously don't want to be aligned with Diddy. You don't want your brand represented by Diddy. So here's what I'll say to the people who talk about Diddy having a short sentence. Of course, Diddy should have been sentenced to serve life in prison. But with all of the pending lawsuits, that does give me a lot of hope that he will spend the rest of his life behind bars. 50 Cent did a great public service by releasing this documentary on Netflix. Again, I haven't watched the Diddy documentaries on other networks. Everybody knows Netflix is king. This is going to reach a lot of people and has been reaching a lot of people all over the world, number one in 51 countries since it was released. I don't know what it's at right now, but, you know, 50 Cent has definitely destroyed Diddy's life, in my opinion, because of all the things he exposed in this docuseries. And I think he used a lot of restraint, as I've said over and over. I think this is really the beginning of the end for Diddy. I think things might get really bad for him or worse for him in jail. I think he's kind of doing fine just now, but inmates are going to watch this. Inmates who are fans of Biggie, inmates who are fans of Tupac, like, it's not, I don't think it's going to, I think this, I choose to believe that this docuseries destroyed Diddy's life. So shout out to 50 Cent. Shout out to Netflix. And I'm definitely disturbed by what I saw in this docuseries. And I want more, though. I want to hear more about what was going on with Cassie. I want to hear about Young Miami. I want to hear about Kim Porter. I want to hear about everything that I didn't even, you know, read or mention to you today. There's so many women who and men who are just afraid to come out and don't want to come out. So we will see what happens. But I'm just really sad and I'm really upset that I think that his sons are carrying on the very worst parts of his legacy. And I hope that justice will be served when it comes to the lawsuits about his sons harming women. So that's it for right now, y'all. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.